Congressman Tracy Mann from the Big First District here in the state of Kansas. Welcome, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on. It is crazy to think that this weekend is going to be as warm as it is with all the festivities in Manhattan, but it should be a great time.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're getting kind of getting spoiled this weekend with a little. I mean, I know the first day of spring is this Saturday, but it's going to feel like summer pretty much.
It is, and in Salina last weekend it felt like summer last Saturday, but Sunday, Monday did not. So that is Kansas, but fun time of the year, and Manhattan does such a great job celebrating St. Patrick's Day and so many other things. Sounds like a great weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know you guys have been keeping busy out there in Washington, D.C. I don't know what the weather's been like out there. Has it been spring-like out there, at least in D.C.?
I flew in. My flight got canceled on Monday, with all the winds and stuff. It was warm, and then it's cold. Same weather as Kansas, just a day or two later, pretty much. So.
Okay. Well, and as mentioned, you've been busy out there, but saw some success on the farm bill earlier this month. The House Ag Committee passed the 2026 farm bill on a 34-17 vote. It did make some key changes, I know, to SNAP benefits, the Farm Safety Net, and conservation programs. Just first of all, your overall thoughts on the markup, what did it accomplish?
Accomplished a lot of things, and maybe to rewind a tiny bit, Brandon, when I look at agriculture in Kansas right now, beef prices are incredibly high, and that's really good for our livestock producers. But as we know, it is really, really tough in farming right now. The cost of inputs haven't gone up like they have, and then low commodity prices, dire times on the farm, very well aware of that. This past summer, in the Working Families Tax Cuts, in that bill, we did a lot of things to really help the safety net for Kansas ag producers. Fortified and strengthened crop insurance for the next 6 years, raised reference prices, strengthened ARC and PLC, and about 20 other things to help agriculture. So a lot of things got done this summer, and that's signed into law and is in place for the next 6 years. So that's in many ways is Farm Bill 1.0. But there are still a handful of things to do, which I refer to as Farm Bill 2.0. Farm Bill 2.0 is what we passed out of the House Ag Committee week before last, and that's what's moving forward here to the floor of the House.
I got you. Okay. So how do you feel like that version then is going to hold up in the Senate?
I'm optimistic. So it's important that, farm bills that actually get signed into law are always bipartisan because you need 60 votes in the Senate. So, right now, Republican majority in the House, very slim majority. In the Senate, you have 53 Republicans and 47 Democrats. However, to get, through the filibuster on the Senate side, you need 60 votes, which means a farm bill that passes is bipartisan, which is why when the farm bill passed through the House Ag Committee 2 weeks ago, 34-17, is a strong bipartisan bill. It's a really good bill. There's no perfect bill. It's a really good bill. The fact that it passed out with very strong margins in a bipartisan fashion should bode well when it makes it to the floor of the House and over to the Senate side.
I know there are some critics that are going to say, it goes too far in terms of reductions of SNAP benefits, especially at a time when we're facing higher grocery bills, gas prices are, obviously going up right now. There's a lot of food insecurity. How do you respond to something like that at this time?
It's just that's not true from the standpoint of Farm Bill 2.0 that we passed through the House Ag Committee that really makes no changes to SNAP or food nutrition programs. What folks might be referring to is what was done this past summer in Farm Bill 1.0. But those are very reasonable reforms, basically to food nutrition. Basically, it's work requirements for able-bodied working adults up until they are 64, which is a very reasonable, in my view, requirement. The majority of folks in the Big First would agree that if you are able-bodied, so we're not talking about people that are disabled, and we're also not talking about people that have young children, young dependents, but if you're an able-bodied working adult without young dependents, you need to work 20 hours a week, work or volunteer, or look for a job, 20 hours a week until you're 64 years old. That's a pretty reasonable reform, and that's what got put in the Working Families Tax Cuts that passed last summer.
All right. So again, and I've seen a lot of going around. This is kind of the skinny bill as it's been referred to. So where do we go from here then? Next, there'll be another vote then coming up. I guess the Senate will have it, and then what happens after that?
Yeah, well, it moved out of the Health Ag, some of the Health Ag Committee. It moved out of committee, so now it needs to go to the floor of the House. Okay. And very optimistic that's going to happen here in the next few weeks, working to get floor time for that scheduled. Assuming that passes out, then it would go over to the Senate side. And every indication is the House version is what then will be the basis of moving forward, but we'll see what the Senate wants to do over on that side of the building.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, there's that going on. At the same time, we've also been dealing with another issue here, and that's the Department of Homeland Security partial government shutdown. That's been, I think, going on for about a month now, if I'm not mistaken. Are we anywhere closer to having that resolved at this time?
Well, it's very frustrating, to say the least. So, to remind everybody, there are 12 different appropriations bills that fund the 12 departments of the government. 11 of those are funded through the rest of the fiscal year. The one that's not is the Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, which you're referring to. It is passed out of the House twice now, proudly supported. And Department of Homeland Security is our Coast Guard, it's Border Patrol, it's ICE. Border Patrol and ICE, they have funding regardless of this partial shutdown right now for many, many months, and that was done through other legislation. But very importantly, it includes our TSA agents at airports, and so very frustrating for another political partisan shutdown. You know, our TSA agents, for example, you know, these are the people that are keeping us safe at airports. They've missed another paycheck here. They're very frustrating, unacceptable. Passed a good bill out of the House, bipartisan, and would like to see it get passed through the Senate just as soon as it possibly can.
I know that the issue here has been what I believe Democrats have been, you know, wanting to not have funding for ICE. If I'm not mistaken, is that kind of the what they've been pushing back on?
Well, different Democrats. Have had different reasons for not being willing to support it. But at the end of the day, we've got to support those people that are keeping our communities and our country safe, right? Under the last administration, we let hundreds of people, we had a wide open, unchecked southern border. We let hundreds of people into the country that are on the terrorist watch list. You know, like, we need to be funding the people that are protecting us, that are deporting folks that have committed crimes in the country, you know, people that are keeping us safe at airports. So to do this partisan political stunt at this time is, in my view, really beyond the pale and frustrating, to say the least.
Okay. Congressman Tracy Mann joining us here on News Radio KMAN. There's another bill that is gaining a lot of traction in the news here this week, and that is the SAVE Act. And for folks who don't know a whole lot about that, that has to do with, I believe, voting rights, and the voter ID law, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if that's going to come up this week or not, but I know you feel very strongly about this. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's now called the SAVE America Act, and it's pretty simple. It requires proof of citizenship when somebody registers to vote, and then a photo ID when casting a ballot. It's just plain common sense. It's the law of the land in Kansas, not true in other states. Very reasonable legislation to preserve and protect the sanctity of our elections. And so it's passed the House a year ago, made some tweaks, made it better, frankly, and then passed out of the House earlier this year. It's over on the Senate side, but I strongly support the Save America Act. And, you know, it's the right policy. And then you look at polling, I mean, 80% of Americans agree that only United States citizens should be allowed to vote, should have to require proof of citizenship when you originally register, and then photo ID. I mean, this is common sense in kind of uncommon, senseless times at times. And it's over on the Senate right now, and that's what the Senate is looking at and taking up this week.
Yeah, I don't understand the pushback on this issue, because I mean, here in Kansas, we are required to show photo ID as it is. So I think here in Kansas, we're a little, maybe not as understanding as why this is such an issue nationwide here, but maybe can you kind of fill us in on what the pushback is?
Yeah, Brandon, frankly, I don't understand it either. I mean, this is as common sense as about anything you'll ever see. And, but there are some, and you know, every Republican supported this. There have been some Democrats for whatever reason that don't want to safeguard our elections. And, you know, when you're unwilling to do that, it weakens the trust that folks have in elections. And despite an existing ban on non-citizens voting in federal elections, the problem is many states continue to find non-citizens on their voting rolls, and they don't have the safeguards in place. Kansas does. Many states don't. Common sense and I'm frustrated, disappointed. Frankly, it's not passed under the law already, but I'm optimistic that that'll get done on the Senate side.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on that bill and see where that goes. The Save America Act, one to keep an eye on for sure. Congressman Tracy Mann joining us here on News Radio KMAN. Final thoughts? Anything you want to wrap up with here, sir?
I would just say that springtime in Kansas, which is incredibly important. It's a fun time of the year. We continue to advocate for agriculture and our Kansas conservative values here in D.C. We have an office there in Manhattan, of course, one in Dodge City as well. But if folks need anything or if I can be helpful in anything, please just reach out at any time. And I would just close by saying go Cats and full steam ahead.
All right. Again, Congressman Tracy Mann joining us here as he does every once in a while here on News Radio KMAN. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for having me.